Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott go on and on and on reviewing Kendall Jackson Vintner's Preserve Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and prepare to listen for quite a while to tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and I am joined tonight by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Warning, listeners, Rob is in recalcitrant mode. Yeah. If you have a dial on recalcitrance, it's dialed way up.
And if you're not a Ponzi fool, you don't know what that means. But nevertheless, we'll just go on the line of I'm pissed off. Unfortunately, folks, the superstar is not here tonight because did he have to have another checkup on his liver?
I think he's got visiting rights on
it. He got a new one, right?
Well,
they had to take that old one out and rebuild it.
The new one.
It's like a carburetor.
We can make you better.
They rebuild his liver.
The $6 million liver?
$6 million. He's not the $6 million man. I don't think there's anybody. Although his first name is Steve. But anyway, folks, the focus of tonight's episode is a continuation on a previous episode I'm sure you just recently heard last week on the Wine Vault. We're moving on down the line on Kendall Jackson's Vintner's Reserve line, and we are off to their 2014 Pinot Noir.
Ooh.
Now, why did we do the Chardonnay than the Pinot Noir? Well, first of all, you drink white before red. Not to say we drank it on the same week, because that would be alcoholism, and we refuse to admit that. However,
first sign is to admit you've got a problem.
Well, that's why I won't admit it.
Damn it.
Henceforth, there's no sign. No. These both have been reviewed highly. So the Chardonnay got a 91 from the Spectator, but the Pinot, even better, got a 91 from the Spectator as well, but also got a 92 from Wine Enthusiast and an Editor's Choice.
Ooh.
So the Chardonnay didn't really live up to its billing. We liked it, but it wasn't a 91. But good Pinots are hard to find. And it's $18.
But let's be honest and transparent. We did enjoy the Chardonnay.
We did enjoy it.
Not Chardonnay experts, not claiming to, but it was a drinker. Mm-hmm. I think our friend Stevie might say it's a 3 or 4 bottle guy.
I think Stevie would really like that.
I think so, too.
And he also likes Pinot. So, Stevie, if you're out there. Haha. So, the Pinot, though, 91 and 92, highly rated. We're going to find out.
We're going to tell you the honest truth, folks. We're going to break this down for you.
And then, folks, after we've done that, tonight's potpourri is
something else down.
Very special. We're going to ridicule and break down someone that probably doesn't deserve it. And his
first time for everything.
His name isn't John Bodie, because that some bitch deserves it. Steve Bodie.
Steve Brody.
Is it? What is his name?
John Brody.
Fuck that guy. Anyway, with that, folks, we'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed Taxi Driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We're back, folks. We are going to be breaking down the 2014 Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Pinot Noir. And I bitched before. Shorter names. What is Vintner's Reserve? Just say Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. I mean, that it is Kendall Jackson. They have Grand Reserve.
But
hear me out. Hear me out.
It doesn't sound as good.
Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve sounds stupid. Leave Vintner's Reserve. Leave that for something that you sell at Costco. Just Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, Kendall Jackson Pinot Noir.
Probably do sell this at Costco.
No, they do, yeah. They also have that other one that's like Avant.
Yeah, but they don't. That's such a line that they don't even put Kendall Jackson on it.
Well, they do. It's on there.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Not on the front label, is it?
Yeah. You have to have eyes.
Yeah.
You have to be able to look.
Well,
I don't look at it directly. It's like the sun. You can't look directly into the sun.
The president took away my health care, and I can't see as well. So,
but you don't look at the Avant for Kendall Jackson. You just don't do it. So, the Pinot, though, first of all, in the glass, it is translucent because it's Pinot. Pinot always is going to have a little bit of translucent.
As always, the wine guy's right. Mm-hmm. KJ Avant does have the Kendall Jackson symbol on there, although the Avant's in like 25 million type font.
It looks like the front of a jersey, doesn't it?
Almost like the Avant's like a sponsor for the bowling team you're on.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say football jersey. I was going to say a bowling jersey, yeah.
Anyhow, we digress.
Yes. Although I don't think if you drank that at a bowling alley, it would be well received.
But it's... oh, God, we're going so hardcore. We like KJ now.
We do.
We like KJ. Have we come around? No, or is this a determining factor?
In fairness, we've tasted two of their wines. This is the third.
And
we've not tasted the Cabernet. We've not tasted the Merlot. We've not tasted the Zin.
And we're doing nothing but the Vintner's Reserve in these three.
Yeah.
And the first two, one we really liked, thought it had a lot and was well made.
Oh, the Summation. We love the Summation.
Ageable, fantastic. Big, nice characteristics. The Chardonnay, we liked. We recommended it. Mm-hmm. Not great.
Nope.
But good.
Yep. The Summation is in the Hall of Fame. But, now we're on the
controversial
Noir,
vote.
And,
it was a controversial vote.
Was it?
Yeah. You were shamed by putting it up there. We shamed you. Yeah. You make too
we
much.
We both gave it 91s.
You make too much fun of KJ for it to be put up there without controversy.
Fun of you.
I deserve it. Kendall Jackson obviously doesn't.
Oh, jeez. So let's break this one
back
down.
On topic.
Yeah, let's do our job. Ooh.
I thought that's Charlie's thing.
Well, Charlie doesn't do anything.
Well,
are you going to get on Charlie now? Is it just me?
No.
It has to be me all the time?
No.
And the superstar when he's here?
Charlie, do your job.
Hey, fuck you, Charlie.
God damn it.
Raise my blood pressure. I need a drink now. So, yeah, once again, translucent.
Yeah.
A little bit of a crimson edge, which, quite frankly, looks like Pinot, doesn't it?
It's fairly translucent even for a Pinot.
Well, it's not a grand Pinot. It's an inexpensive Pinot. It looks like a Pinot.
It's a translucent Pinot.
But all Pinots have just like that little bit of a... I don't know what I call it. Well, it's crimson more than it is anything. So it does look Pinot-esque. It does have a nice clarity to it, even though it is a little bit translucent.
It's very translucent. Well, we're going to differ on this.
Yeah. Don't be that way.
Well, I am that way. What can I say?
Yeah. On the nose. So I'm going to go in here and take a whiff. First of all, I smell, well, do you have the review in front of you, Preto?
Okay. Yeah,
I know what I smell. And I know what I smell is not particularly Pinot-esque. I would refer to it as cherry cordial. And a little bit of alcohol. I don't really smell the earthiness, the mushroom, that kind of wet earth.
The things we would expect in a Pinot.
The last Pinot we did was the Duckhorn, I believe. And it was a very, very good Pinot, by the way. Very good Pinot.
I love your Duckhorn.
I'll be honest, though. Yeah, if this one isn't good, I'm going to be very surprised because the wine expected in 91, I don't put much stock in. But then Wine Enthusiast 92, I do. Don't know why. But normally when something gets a designation from them, Editor's Choice or something like that, they tend to be good wines. Spectator, they'll give somebody with a heartbeat a freaking 91 anymore. But
and this was the 14, yeah?
14.
Yeah, 92 Editor's Choice. Full-bodied wine is complex and detailed with spicy perfume to the finish. Spicy perfume to the finish. That means the finish of the nose?
No. Did they go into then another?
Aromas like black tea and rhubarb need to ripe and deep cherry and slightly tangy raspberry flavor. Then once again, they mix aromas with flavors that are lifted by moderate tannins and linger on the finish.
I can see the rhubarb. A sweet rhubarb is on the nose.
Black tea and rhubarb.
I've never really thought about that. Partly because they never really... Yeah,
I get the black tea right up front, man.
Yeah, that mixture that I'm smelling, that cordial and that's black tea and rhubarb.
They nailed it.
That's what that is, isn't it? I called it cherry cordial, but in reality, if you think about it from their perspective, yes, a slightly tea aroma with definitely, I definitely pick up the rhubarb.
I get rhubarb, but I don't get the cherry cordial. It's not sweet enough to be cherry cordial for me.
Well, I got it from the alcohol, a little alcohol
shot. Right. Yeah,
that menthol kind of nose coming through. That's where I made that up.
But it's not a real alcohol. It's a funny alcohol nose. It's almost that sharp menthol-y thing without the huge alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
No, I think my
a really
a simplistic way. So if you break it up into its parts, yeah, black tea and rhubarb. That makes
more sense. Black tea than rhubarb. And the alcohol, it's that's weird little alcohol. It's
almost, it all plays together. Yeah, and when you really think about it, I think you have to have it explained to you, because when you really think about it, you can pull it apart in 2 seconds.
Obviously, it had to be explained to us, but it's there.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm going to drink.
The nose is... It's distinct in its components, in that the black tea's first, and the rhubarb comes up behind. The black tea's still there, but it's not this blend of things. It's like these parts, and they're all distinct. It's kind of an interesting nose. Is that type of differentiation in the nose, is that a Pinot characteristic? Rob's whining, he tasted it.
Just have at it.
Never mind.
Have at it. Don't be so enthused. Have at it.
And this has been decanting for more...
It's been long enough.
Couple of hours, almost. An hour and a half,
yeah. Pinot's... You already smelled it. You know what it tastes
like. I think there is a little mushroom in that nose, too. If you could see the look, it's almost... It's somewhere between disgust and dismay.
No, it's not bad. You have to quaff it like crazy. Or you have to draw air like crazy. I like how you're using the TV remote to try to turn down the stereo, but that's okay. If you drink it properly, the first draw when I brought it in, it came across as, first of all, just being slightly numbing to the mouth and very spritzy, which I hate. It's like when Pinot goes wrong, that's Pinot. Slightly brooding, but if you really waffle it, and I mean blowing in shit tons of air, looking like a total jerk off, you find something hidden in there. Now, if you do this in public, people will think that there's something wrong with you. Which there is.
Well, there is something wrong with you.
What? Brilliance? It's not something wrong. Go ahead and talk. I'm talking too much. Go ahead and talk.
What is not hidden in any way? There's one huge characteristic that jumps out and frickin' punches you right in the face, and that's spice. It's a spicy sucker.
It is.
It's pepper. It's black pepper. But there's something else there with it. Not quite cayenne, but there's black pepper, and there's a bitey, peppery-like thing there, too. There's two things going on at once, and it's from the front to the middle to the back. So if you don't like spicy or peppery, don't drink this.
No. And if you like Pinot, you probably don't like spicy and you don't like peppery, because those aren't atypical notes in a Pinot. It is a very unique drink in the kindest terms. It's not a bad drink. However, when I pour out a Pinot and I pour it, I expect a certain experience. And I really am one that likes... I love the wet earth. I love that mushroomy quality. I love it to veer more French than Cali. I wouldn't say this is Cali. It's its own thing. I really enjoy the Duckhorn Pinot. I thought that was really tasty, really lovely. I like the 14 Malomi, even though it was a little bit more Cali. The 15 doesn't count. This is somewhere else. It really is somewhere else. I don't really know how to quantify it or qualify it or even properly describe it in those terms, because Pinot can be a lot of different things, but I've never, in all the Pinots I've drank, and there's been several over my days, I've never drank one quite like this one.
I tell you what, let's talk about the tannins a little bit. I like them. They're kind of, I don't want to say hidden, but they don't really appear as prominent until they slightly linger on the finish. It's in balance to this spicy, overabundance of this spicy thing.
Mm-hmm.
The tannins kind of pop up at the end, and they're, it's kind of a nice little lingering
tannic
finish.
Let me read from the back of the label here. Family owned.
Okay.
Artisan quality.
Whoa. Family. What does this Illuminati? Well, that. So that's how, what they're calling it now.
Our Pinot Noir delivers black cherry.
We are family.
And raspberry fruit with supple tannins.
Wait. Just read that again.
Black cherry and raspberry fruit. I understand the problem there. With supple tannins found in our hillside grapes that intertwine with plum and spice from our benchland vineyards. This wine was aged primarily in French oak barrels, imparting a hint of vanilla and cedar aromas to the delicate Pinot Noir fruit. I kind of
see what they're getting at there. I mean,
there's no raspberry there. That's bullshit.
If you confuse rhubarb with raspberry,
well, the nose, but yeah. They're talking about the flavors. They're talking about what you taste. I mean, plum's easy. You know, we could call it whatever you want. Is that any different than what they're calling black cherry? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have three different fruit things going on there. So, fruit.
Well, I think the oak, the mid-palate oak, cancels out any chance of there being any kind of fruity raspberry that sneaks in there. It's that that oak is prominent in the mid-palate. And it kind of crushes any fruit that wants to expand there, in my opinion. Because it is very oaky on the mid-palate for a Pinot. And like I said, Pinot's delicate. And that oak, man, it kicks it in the face.
There's nothing delicate about this wine.
Well, let me say this. The grape stock is delicate. Everything they did to it is not delicate. So they took a piece of Mozart. And, well, not Mozart, but Chopin. A very delicate...
Chopin? What is that, like...
Oh, Chopin.
The latest...
You knew what I was talking Japanese about, chef? Jack off. What? Anyway, Chopin. They took Chopin. That's for John Bodie. Anyway, and then they said, well, yeah, we know it's nice and soft and delicate. I'm going to just put this on an amplifier and turn this up to fucking 12! And then they just... jammed it, and with reverb and everything else, but still like doo, 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 and it just was loud and just ridiculous.
So it's like Sam Kinison meets Pinot Noir.
No. It's just a little bit loud in areas.
That's Sam Kinison, folks.
Sam didn't have soft, except when he wanted to be soft.
Well, soft underbelly.
He's fat.
In fact.
Yeah, chicken so cheeks. With that, folks.
But it's not with that. There's no cherry. There's no raspberry. They're wrong. There's a fruit there. It's freaking plummy. And it's modeled behind everything else.
It's plummy, and there's spice, and there's oak. And
the thing that it's
medium bodied and
what I like about this wine is how the tannins come in at the finish and give you something to go back for.
This wine there, I mean, there's a wine there, but it's not one that I expected. Think back to some of the things that are out there. Dealey Lane. What Dealey Lane did, Dealey Lane had that oakiness, but it had a brighter
richer fruit behind it. And it had a chocolate edge, which is not atypical of Pinot.
Nope.
But it made it very harmonious and lovely. This doesn't have that. And so you have that mid-palate of oak that just sits there and it's a little bit sour.
There are some things that they're trying to balance the spiciness out, but should you be trying to balance stuff with the spiciness?
No.
The spiciness should be balancing everything else.
Well, not in Pinot. It kind of bumbles around a little bit.
I'm not sure spiciness should be the main characteristic in any wine, should it?
Maybe Zin. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe Sangiovese. Maybe.
Maybe.
But not Pinot.
Maybe.
That's what I would say. It's kind of like a little all over the place. It doesn't really know what it wants to be. It kind of bumbles around.
That's the biggest problem with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just doesn't meld well all together. And perhaps some more time
would balance that out. And if that's why it scored so high, I get it. Man. Because there are some tannins back behind that spiciness.
Yeah, so those same people drink the Duckhorn?
Well,
I would get, if this gets a 92 from the enthusiast, then the Duckhorn gets a 94.
Yeah.
95. Let it got alone. 90 from Parker, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was a Pinot. It was representative of what we expect a Pinot to be. This is just kind of a weirdo.
Well, let alone, I think this is, let me pop it up, but the 14 Pinots from Oregon are,
well,
I think pretty damn good. I'm not sure they were 92, but I think they might have been. Let me take a look. Yeah, Oregon Pinot Noirs, 96. So what is he comparing this to?
That's a generality over all of
them. I get it, but
there are some.
But what is he comparing this Pinot to that he's giving it a 92? Or a 91, for that matter.
I mean, it's a
snobbery abounding tonight on the Wine Vault. Snobbery. And now, snobbery. Vintage charts? Really?
Well, no, I'm actually trying to find where in this wine that they're coming with these reviews. I haven't figured it out yet. It's not a bad wine. First of all, folks, once again, not a bad wine at all. But it's not what we want from a Pinot. It's Pinot. You know it's Pinot. But it's got other components to it that throw it off.
And
in our opinion, I think, right?
I'm a little more open-minded to variances in what you'd expect. And I wouldn't call this spiciness, it's not a flaw.
But
it's so strong.
But I'm okay for it if it actually works within the wine.
Yes.
It doesn't work very well. It just
It tries to work. Everything else tries to work with it.
I suppose it tries to be a lot of things.
It tries to. Well, yeah. It knew it was coming on the show and it was doing its best to appease, but.
Yeah, you know what that was from? Silence of the Lambs.
Say again.
That was from Silence of the Lambs.
Say it again.
What?
What was the line? Say the line again. What was from Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you didn't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I expect it tries to be a lot of things.
Oh.
That's where the guy was decapitated and he was like a, you know, transvestite. Tries to be a lot of things. Didn't matter. Anyway, this wine's head would be in a jar, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Arbitrary.
Anyway, makeup on.
I think there's some nice things there, but I guess it's just not well put together.
Well, I think they think it is.
Well, I'm not sure KJ thinks it is.
They marketed it. They sold it.
They marketed, but they're not the ones trying to say it's this frickin' 92 or whatever.
That's true.
I think, to some degree, they've done a nice job of describing what a combination of what they want it to be and what it is. If you can go in there and see black cherry,
I wonder if it's just not our style.
Plum, and what was the other mess they had in there? What was the other? Oh, raspberry.
I don't know.
Somebody can pull raspberry. I mean, I realize the critics did, but
I'm just coming down here to this. This is a style that is lost on us that we collectively, you and I, don't like at all.
And I guess drink nothing but shitty entry-level Pinot.
Guess who would hate this?
Because I saw Sideways, and that's all I drank for 2 years.
Guess there's guess one person that would absolutely hate this.
Oh, the Triple B.
Well, yes, but another person. The superstar would hate this. He would hate it.
I don't know how he feels about spicy.
But he loves peanut, but he would hate this. Well,
but how does he feel about spicy?
I don't think he would like the oak. The oak is like a sore thumb right there.
Oaky.
It is. Well, it's not oaky, but it is for a Pinot. Pinot can't mask it.
It is for a Pinot. It is for a Pinot.
Sorry, you're ignorant. No, it can't mask it. Oh, you want more?
Yes, I want.
Sure, drink out of the canner. It might be better that way.
No, that's your job. Are we posting that video on Facebook, by the way?
It can't mask it properly is the problem. That's why you don't oak Pinots overly. Yeah, I love an oaky Pinot. No, you don't. They're better fresh. They're better with all those nice little earthy components that we love. But
I don't think this is. I think the thing that would jump out at Stevie would be the spiciness. Because he's drank oakier stuff than that. It doesn't matter. It's semantics whether the superstar would like this or not. But I think you draw out a great point.
But Becky wouldn't necessarily hate it because it doesn't taste like dirt.
It doesn't have the earthy components.
She doesn't like that.
And that's something we haven't discussed, that all this big spiciness and the other things going on, there's no earthy components to this at all.
That's where I'm coming. Is this lost on us? Because that's what we really like. We really like that offshoot of wine, and that's what we expect when we drink a Pinot. We want to have that earthiness. We want to have that mushroom. We want to experience that because we like it.
Don't get it here. It's not here.
Are we simply pissed off with a wine that just isn't delivering what we want, even though it can deliver what it wants?
Or are you simply pissed off?
No, I'm not simply pissed off. I think that what I was saying, what I'm thinking is here. Everything, I can sense the Pinot in the glass. I know it's there. I can taste it. What bugs me is there's this mid-palate of oak. And it sits there like a lump. Not like it's a lump, but it's integrated better than that. But it just sits there and it throws it all off. And I don't think the flavor of the oak and what it does, that char, meshes well with the other flavor profile of the wine. And I think underneath all of that oak, you might have that raspberry they're talking about that's hiding there that I want to drink. The wine I want to drink, I think, is there. But I can't taste it because of the damn oak.
And when you draw air of this hard, that's what you get, that oak.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one thing that lessens the spiciness. If you just draw a fair amount of air in, that spiciness is still there and big. If you just hit this without drawing air on it, you're going to get that spiciness. That's the prominent thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the more air you draw over it, the more oak you get. If you draw a lot of air over it, you don't get just get the oak. You get those oaky characteristics, the vanilla that come in.
Yeah.
And along with that spiciness, it overpowers everything. You know the other thing about this?
Mm-hmm.
This is a 14.5% Pinot.
It's pretty high for Pinot.
That's a pretty big Pinot. Yet it's still a really lean wine as a... It's no more lean than any other Pinot.
The wine is big and boisterous, but the actual things that you attribute to being Pinot are lean. The thing is, front palate, you taste Pinot. And then everything else, it's like you have Pinot that's dressed in frickin' military attire. I mean, it's so pumped up after that, you lose the Pinot elegance that you want.
I'm not even sure...
Front palate, I taste front, Pinot.
Yeah, but it's not even the Pinot-iest front palate.
But it's the only thing that resembles Pinot.
It is.
The rest of it is like...
It's the texture.
Well, say you take you're building a Lego set, all right? And one thing is you start off and you're building a ship.
Wait a minute. Are we going Lego Batman movie or Lego the Lego movie?
I don't know. Actually, forget that. Mr. Potato Head. You're making Mr. Potato Head. So you know it's Mr. Potato Head, but then you put like chaps
and vodka.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the. Actually, you have a car.
Chaps. Car. So you're going
now. Forget Mr. Potato
Head. Village people, Mr. Potato Head.
Forget Mr. Potato Head. You have a car, okay? And so then you say, "Well, my car is a, I don't know, a Malibu, Chevy Malibu, okay." But what you do is you take everything off the Malibu, even though it's still a Malibu underneath. It's still a Malibu. You strip it down to nothing, and you rebuild it to look like a monster truck.
Malibu? We're talking about coconut rum? I just got hit with a projectile. To quote
John
Mike
Bodie?
Ferguson and Gibby, I think we're going down a rabbit hole that has no end.
Well, the rabbit holes they talk about involve children being murdered, but nevertheless.
Nonetheless.
You know you have a light-bodied, lovely thing there that is saddled with other elements that just don't belong, that feel like they're plastered on after the fact. It feels manipulated. It tastes manipulated.
I agree with that, but neither of us really feel that it's plastered on. We kind of think it's close. We kind of want to like this.
It's not 15 below me.
Right.
I mean, it just is.
But it's not that far away from being well put together.
But it just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. I mean, it's missing something.
It doesn't. If the front palate were bigger.
Yeah, and more fruit.
Show of this little pansy Pinot, then if it showed some big boisterous Pinot that we knew that was big,
you could change.
Then the rest of it would follow, but it doesn't.
Three little things that you could subtly change that would maybe make this work a little better. A little more fruit in the front. Did you say? Oh, you know, if it really had raspberry, if you really could pull raspberry out of that, it'd change everything.
All mid palate,
but it's all this mid palate and the spiciness.
Yeah.
The oaky, if it had a little less spice, maybe we would like the oak better.
I think that if you didn't oak it as much, you'd have a leaner, lighter wine, but I think you'd have one that was more enjoyable. As a Pinot.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't.
You'd have this really naked spice.
The spice is from the oak.
Okay.
Where it comes from.
Okay. I'll give you that.
All of that would be muted. Okay. Now, you might not get some 92 from some dum-dum that. You know, this tastes just like Cabernet. It doesn't taste like Cabernet.
So where does this go in a couple years? Does that change anything with this?
That might mute that oakiness some.
Is that what
it might also lean it all out, and I don't know.
But you know, you look at the reviews and they don't talk about this being ageable, and I'm not sure that it is.
This is a quandary because numerically I can't beat it up too bad. I can't give it a low score.
He was a much better athlete than his brother, the Rocket, but Quadri never had any of the success either in college.
What are you talking
about? Or in professional football.
Are you high?
Quadri is male.
Who? Quandary. Quandary. Dum dum.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Nobody knows who's a Quadri.
Go Rocket. Go Howie, Notre Dame.
Anyway. Pastor. You ruined my train of thought again. That's brilliant.
You hit me in the face with a wine cork.
Don't. That was a chest. Don't.
It was right in the schnoz.
Don't interrupt brilliance. Watch it. Learn from it. Don't interrupt it.
Brilliance.
Now, what was I saying? I can't remember a fucking thing. Who knows?
No, it is what it is. It's just it's not well put together.
In our opinion. Apparently, other people's opinions vary, but...
I just don't know.
But numerically, I can't pull out the pitchforks because there is a wine there that's very drinkable.
And there's some interesting things going on that's just not well put together.
But there's
the struggle here is, are we missing something that these guys got?
Think about it this way. Would you rather drink this or Federalist Cabernet or Benzinger Cabernet?
This.
So you can't put it in that low 80s area.
No.
So you're not in that realm, but you're also in the realm of, can I recommend this?
But it's all, well, that's the trouble with this for us because, you know, we recommend, don't recommend, we give scores. We might give something an 87 and say we don't recommend it. I think that's our struggle here. But also we struggle with this stylistically. And I struggle with
other people too.
Yes.
I can live with it. But I don't know that someone that's just buying it for whatever purpose.
What I don't get about the reviews, other than their description of the fruit that we just don't see as being there, nowhere in there do they talk about the structure of this wine.
True.
Its complexity or how it's put together. And that's what
our issue is.
wrong.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it having these characteristics that aren't Pinot Noir.
A front palate should never be...
So I think we should go with what our gut is and play with it.
Well, I don't believe a front palate should ever be completely overpowered instantly by the mid palate. The front palate should be... The sweet should be... Or the fruit...
For Pinot? Never.
Well, for what wine should everything else overpower the fruit?
I'm not sure I'm going to go all that, because I think we've had some interesting things that had this mid-palate that jumped right to the front of the wine had that we liked.
But it didn't come so quickly.
They had something to offer.
That's off an often
good point. He checked himself
there. So with that, folks, we're going to be right back with a lovely potpourri here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. We're going to let the unlicensed taxi driver. He has this article in front of us. Scott, tell us a little about what was going on here.
So tonight, we're going to share an article that we have. We think it's got a lot of great information.
We do?
Not. Well, we're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to parody something and make fun of it. Not.
Folks,
we've done it all the time.
This is unusual for me, but I do feel kind of bad. Because this is...
Up front?
About this, because I think that...
About your speed?
No. I'll stop. Get past that. No, about the article.
It's not me. It's to get past it. It's the article, you and...
The article that we're talking about...
Somebody else we care about dearly.
Yeah, well,
poor girl.
Yeah, she'll take what she can get. Anyway, this is a...
Just say she'll take what she can
get. What's the name of this article? What's the name of this website, first of all?
We're not going to...
Are
we gonna name? We're not.
Just do it.
Tell him you feel sorry for him.
I do, because this is a WordPress company, and we have a website on WordPress.
But we think they're
wineofall.org.
We think they're a wine club.
Well, they are, because in their little top thing it says club.
Wine critics to trust: 4 easy tips for great advice. Well,
let them know what the site is. It's I can't pronounce it, so that's why I'm telling you to do it.
Aphelion. And I never learned how to read.
Well, who knows? They're Australian.
Small farm town from
Aussie. Aussie, 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 as Scott would say. So, Scott, yeah, how to trust a wine critic. Now, this is obviously a very generic article, and I will preface this. I encourage you all to go look at it.
Not.
No, I do it. Because it's kind of... See, when I write a blog, I'm being quite, satirical. I'm not really being serious.
Always.
Well,
you're just some serious.
You don't really have a wine collection or wine goblet collection that you take for Renaissance Fair, do you?
Okay, so sometimes you sprinkle,
yes,
some gross attempts at humor in your articles, but there's substance.
But they aren't trying to be humorous.
But they are at the same point.
Yes, they use pictures as almost like. It's kind of like one of those, you've seen those, what's the articles that are inspirational? Like the bumper stickers or the posters? The
posters.
That you've seen like...
Posters.
Yeah, Believe, and it has some dumb, stupid shit on there. That's what their article kind of looks like, only a little bit cheesy.
It really does.
Yeah. So, the first point, do you want
to... So...
Yeah, try this off. Okay.
To navigate this veritable world of wines, we need help to weed out the ordinary, unless you like ordinary, and make sure your every wine purchase is perfectly suited to your taste. Therein lies the rub.
Oh, I skipped ahead. Yes, you're actually reading it.
A good wine critic's hard to find. So, be sure that you find wine critics to trust with these 4 easy tips for great advice. Number one,
And yes, there's this great picture accompanying it.
Yeah,
so, cast your net wide.
Now, folks, they have a picture of a net, but the net is a big fucking hole in it.
It's like
the, I love fishing metaphors, by the way, too. I love it when they say as if you're drinking wine, and then you really spend time at night saying, "Who do I trust as a wine critic to decide what to buy?" You don't do that.
It's like a bad Senator Al Franken.
If you listen to us, you say, "What do I need to listen to when I'm driving into work, or I've got to go like drive for 3 hours?" And who can annoy me the most for that 3 hours? Oh well, the wine guy and the unlicensed taxi driver. You don't sit there and think, "Do I trust Robert Parker? Well, he probably has a comb over. Do I trust Wilfred Wong? Never trust a man with alliteration in his name. Do I trust the tasting panel? Who the fuck are the tasting panel?
We don't know.
Do I trust Australian Wine Companion? No, you do not. Do you trust Steve Bodie? Is that his name?
I'm not that guy.
You fuck that guy. So who do I trust?
But here's the
point. Who do I trust, Scott?
Cast your net wide.
Cast your net wide.
You know what you like to read. What grabs your attention and where it might be that print serves you best? Newspaper. Where else can we find John information, Christensen. Rob? How about a book?
By the way, the Dispatch, you might have retired John Christensen for the Dispatch.
Yeah.
I've met him. He's a different guy, but he knows his shit.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but he reviews stuff that normally people don't drink. He wouldn't drink. He would not review the Kendall Jackson
because nobody would drink it. Then he'd
get nobody, his money. Nobody drinks. Yeah, we review things people drink.
Well, not that, but many newspaper critics do a good job of having a wide variety of things they.
Well, he reviews one things of our, people one of, should drink but won't.
But not only that, but entry level, upper level, little obscure things. Wine critic we love. It's Miss Briscoe from the San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, sure. We love
her. She does a hell of a job.
Yeah.
What other sources of information could you have? Perhaps a book.
What?
Or a shiny magazine.
Reading again.
A shiny magazine. But it might be online or on
is that in here?
Or on a Kindle.
Oh, on a Kindle. Folks, yes, this article references a Kindle. Now, we don't want to know what year it's from. I'm assuming it's from 2001. A Kindle. Of a low budget? It's not even a Kindle Fire.
It's just a Kindle.
You know what?
Kindle Jackson.
If this person had a podcast, I'd listen to it on my Zoom player. That's what I'd do.
Your boombox?
Put it over my shoulder.
Over your shoulder.
I'd record it on cassettes. I would actually play it off iTunes, assuming they were onto iTunes, and then I would record it on a cassette player.
Hoping you could find an 8-track at a yard sale?
Yes, and then I would have it actually put on the old Thomas Edison, waxed cylinders, and I would play it.
78 RPM final.
And then I would have a minstrel listen to that and then just repeat it to me.
What kind of cycle?
A minstrel. Like a people that go around. You sexist bastard. Just focus. A roving minstrel, a man that tells stories and sings songs. You were alive. You've been to Renaissance fairs. You like those. There are minstrels there.
One of these things comes around doesn't belong here.
Like 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, you have a lot of information about that.
Oh, sure.
One of these things just doesn't belong. One of these podcast hosts has been to a Ren fair. Which one of you can sing along?
Folks, by the way, go Nashville
Rob Predators. Rob Dern.
Go Nashville Predators.
Ren Fest.
Focus Savant. On the topic. I was going to say fuck, but I didn't.
The world moves quickly, and the number of wine reviews and critics has exploded.
So, folks, by the way, these aren't Scott's thoughts. He's actually reading it. He's not telling you this.
But so, point number two is run the ruler over them.
I don't know. What? Okay.
Run the ruler over them.
Having checked, and I'm going to read from this.
Three critical factors.
Yes.
Go ahead, read.
Having checked out the lay of the land and compiling your short list, the next step is to check out who's up to size.
What? Is this like a breeding competition?
What makes a good critic?
Apparently size.
Parker's
kind of tall.
I don't know what he is. Three factors, though, folks. Deep knowledge. A person should have deep knowledge because you'll know this.
And apparently to our expert at Aphelion, this doesn't have to be academic. That's a good thing for us.
Experience. Life experience. So you should know. If they've been in NAM or something, apparently. Often they say that.
The number of wines they've tried.
So if they have that too.
Yeah. So I should. You should like publish like false numbers. Now, and say how many
it requires hiring a private investigator to like search this person out. Or folks, if you have access to FBI or CIA files, you can probably find out about this person. Or you could capture them and interrogate them with a car battery, perhaps, and find out these things.
God, did you just say car battery?
Yeah, hook it up, man.
What, are you going to hit them in the head with
you
a car
zap
battery?
The fuckers. Haven't you watched Taken? Oh, man, you'd like that. I have a certain set of skills, but it's not that.
Car batteries don't work that way.
I know, but if they did, it'd hurt like hell.
If they did, but they don't.
The next thing, one thing that would rule Scott out is strong writing. Do you prefer reams of information from the winery in your wine reviews? So if someone quotes something else or quotes themselves.
Quotes themselves?
Like John Bodie or Steve Bodie. What is his name? Steve Bodie.
Mr. Bodie.
You go fuck yourself, Steve Bodie. What about discussing value?
With the pipe.
What about it?
In the hallway.
Yeah, so if you write like a mental midget, then you should suck. Then, C. And they did this actually as if they were writing a outline.
So, yeah, maybe it is an outline.
Maybe it's someone who's 17.
She was just 17.
Or it could be a dude.
You know what I mean.
Understanding of their audience. Based in respect. Scott, go ahead. Talk about this.
Classy. Well, Rob, I think you should talk about classiness and respect.
Well, there are some hilarious bad reviews out there. It says
not by us. Well, yeah, we're just slightly short of hilarious.
I wasn't trying to be funny when I was reviewing those ones.
Those aren't everything.
Read. People want to hear you.
Connection with their audience is critical to enable you to trust a critic or reviewer. What kind of fucking weak ass freaking?
You know, this is
70s. I have a mantra of connection. Bullshit is that?
This sounds like the type of dumb shit that's on our website. Who writes this? Oh, I do.
You do.
No, mine's much better than this.
It really is.
I mean, it's
much more technical.
It's as if they had an assignment and they had to fill it.
At least your graphics are better.
Well, that's true. They actually put out a measuring tape as a picture.
Well, see, again, size is important.
It is, yes. Don't let them tell you any different.
Here's where it gets a little crazy. And, you know, honestly, I think the point of the article is they're trying to say, figure out who you are, figure out what you like, how you like to get your information, and maybe there's a little bit of something there that you could say in three sentences.
Yeah, do you have a Kindle?
It gets funny.
Kindle?
Assess independence.
They have a Statue of Liberty as a picture, folks.
And we've talked about this. You know, what percentage of wines get a good review simply because they buy advertising space?
It's true.
From a magazine publication.
Cough, we can be bought. Cough! Yes. Sorry.
Wine guy, yes. Unlicensed, integrity.
Folks, I can always cut him out. I'll record when he's not here.
Bastard.
No, I didn't say that out loud. Yeah. How you're going to know? First of all, Spectator gave Vintner's Reserve Chardonnay from Candle Jackson a 91. That's based on ad revenue, not on the wine's technical merit. Easy enough.
We've been that far off before.
The Candle Jackson Vintner's Reserve Pinot Noir from the Spectator got a 91. That's based on ad revenue, not the wine's technical merit. So there's two cases. There you go.
But Summation got what?
91 from the Enthusiast.
91 from who else?
The Enthusiast. They were the ones who gave a review.
Well, I think we might have given a review.
Oh, well, yeah, we did.
We might have really.
That was based on its technical merit.
We might have really liked
it. So one out of three ain't bad.
One out of three ain't bad.
We also talk about. Then finally, number four is a similar sense of value. I don't know what that means. I don't care. And they have another one. Deliberate exhaustion. Deliberate exclusion.
Oh,
points.
My God.
I was just worn out by reading this stupid shit.
I went to a small farm school in Ohio, folks, and I didn't learn how to. I never learned how to read.
Now, folks, let me explain why I felt bad about doing this. First of all, it's a WordPress article, which means it's like us, kind of. But no one has actually liked this.
Yeah,
article
at the bottom of the page.
Be the first to like this.
So we have like one or two people like our shit.
I'm going to like it.
No, you're not.
Well, I can't.
You have to sign in.
I can't.
I won't let you sign in.
Well, the I'll sign in, I'll delete I changed your... the password, so I don't have the password on this, so I can't sign in. So no one has liked this article. Now,
all right, let's real quick, let's blow through this and help our listeners with finding a critic that they can connect with.
Us. No, folks, this is the thing. There's a lot of different reasons to buy a lot of different magazines. The Spectator is a lot of different places, and it's a fun magazine to read. It's glossy. It has great articles in it, and it has reviews. What you can't, what I would caution you on trusting are the big budget wines, the Kendall Jacksons, things like that. They're getting good reviews. They have ad revenue in there. They have there's a vested interest in that wine mag, and we've talked about this other another
yeah, we have
of that wine magazine giving them a good review. Otherwise, they're not going to. If they give them, they slam them, give them an 81. They're not going to. Why would you? If you were Kendall Jackson, why would you give them money?
And there's this void of scores below 85.
And quite frankly, folks, yes, they don't publish anything below 95 anymore. I don't know what they're saying. So they're not publishing anything that's doing poorly.
So
and that's an editorial choice, and I understand why they do that. I understand that because they can't. If they did, they might lose money, and they exist on money.
But it's interesting because
once upon a time they don't want to be martyrs. They want to actually be able to feed their families, and that's fine. But as a consumer, take that into consideration.
100%. But
you're also not going to go out and get Parker either because it's a periodical. Yes, it doesn't have ad revenue. Yes, it's probably based upon it's based upon pure drinking and pure knowledge. However, there is a little bit in his reviews of what's the word?
A little bias, a little varietal bias.
Yeah, varietal bias. I would think a little bit. Just he's a little too enthusiastic at times. How's that sound? He gets a little excited about certain wines,
but yet at the same time, doing what we do, I think if there's one guy out there that we've come to kind of respect and look at his and give maybe it's a little Parker. More value, it's Parker.
I know. He gets too enthusiastic occasionally about
so do we,
the
probably.
Ageability of wines or
well, yeah, score.
But in reality...
There's probably plenty of people out there that criticize for one of our faves, the 2013 Baron Sonoma County.
Sure, sure.
We fucking love that motherfucker. And there's probably some people that drink it and go, that's a fucking dog.
Mm-hmm.
But it just hit us the right way at that time. We said it's ageable, so we gave it the score we did. But back to the article and back to what we think. They, you know, one of the points is, you know, run the rule over them, they say. But really, it's what is it that you like about that particular writer? And that's freaking all you need to say. Do you like them? And here's a point to draw from what we just said about Parker. Over time... When you read their reviews, do you like the same things they like? It's as simple as fucking that. That's what run the ruler over them means. Mm-hmm. They talk about it as a strong writer. Do you have an understanding of their audience?
It's that. Like two or three sentences.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe to some degree you need to understand if you like budget wines, do they review budget wines?
Not really.
I think you can figure that out on your own.
No, they don't.
Assessing the independents, we've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Similar sense of value. We just talked about that. Here's the last thing. Is the point scale important to you? Most critics are going to go with the point scale. Some don't, though. Some are going with this 4- and 5-star system. The bottom line is, what's the content of the review? Can you find something out there that is representative of what you like and you can connect with it?
Well,
if they're projecting wines out and say, hey, this is an approachable Chardonnay, and you don't know anything about Chardonnays, and you drink go, hey, this was an easy drinker, you might consider listening to their review the next time.
Well, also, though, it also depends on the purpose of your purchase. If it's, I'm going to have friends over and I need to pick out a wine, do you really worry about that? No. If it's I'm trying to collect now, then you might worry about a numerical score. But for instance, I mean...
And you also, you're just a different player.
Yeah.
If you're worried about a numerical score and collecting, fucking don't even listen to a goddamn word we say.
No, listen to me. I'll guide you right.
Don't listen to a goddamn word we say.
Oh, shut your hole. No. But reality though, folks, at the end of the day, you start to drink things. And I think one thing that you can do, and our podcast, other things like this, interactive things where you can, you know, listen to someone as they go through the process, that helps you more than just reading something that has
to be long. Hello, that's what we like to do.
Yeah, and you listen to a wine that's broken down. Hopefully, the premise of what we do is so you can understand what the process is, so you can do it yourself, and you don't need, well, you always need us, but you can start processing that and do that yourself, and then you can relate as to, you know, I heard that if a Pinot's from Russian River, it tends to be better. And you remember that next time, you say, oh, that's a Russian River Pinot. I'm going to give that a try because I've heard that it's better. And it is. That's the kind of knowledge that you want to impart upon yourself. So do you need to know a 91? No, because not everything gets reviewed, first of all.
That's a definite
Not everything point. Gets reviewed. Only things that are submitted for review are reviewed. So Wine Spectator, I don't care. Any magazine that exists, the only thing they reviewed are things that are submitted to them for review. Not all wineries submit their wine for review.
With good reason.
Well, some of them can be bad. Some of them just don't do it.
They don't need to. They don't have to.
Yeah. There's too small because, I don't know, there might be some financial interest involved in that too. They might have to pay money. I don't know.
Because their wine club members don't care that it's going to get distributed anyway. Yeah.
But also could be that they cost $10,000 to have Wine Spectator review your wine. I don't know what it costs. I'm sure they don't do it for free. You don't send in a bottle and they go, well, let me taste this. It don't probably work that way.
How much ad money did you buy?
I mean, there is probably some bar to all these wineries being tasted. There probably is a fee associated with it. So some of them opt not to do it. That's fine. So take that into consideration. If you found a wine that you like, drink it. But
similarly, as you pour through information and you read something and you try a wine, take note. Mm-hmm. Did I agree with this guy or gal? And there's plenty of information out there. Mm-hmm. One of the points of the article that I do agree with, find the way you like to get information. Articles, online, blogs, podcasts are the most important way.
Well, my recommendation is look for amateur wine reviewers. Ones that aren't associated with all those things, just independents. Why? Because they're buying this stuff themselves most generally, especially now and today. A lot of us, like 7-8 years ago, used to be a thing where, and we weren't in the business then doing this, but wineries were sending wine out to these places like crazy. I mean, bottle upon bottle upon bottle. And these bloggers, and it wasn't necessarily a podcast, but they couldn't do anything with all the wine. It was so much. That has been so pulled back. There's hardly any wine available being sent out to wine places.
Relatively speaking.
So, in reality, the majority of these things are things that people on these shows have bought through various means. We don't pay for all of our wines. We have sponsorship money and whatnot that we use towards wines. But still, it's wines that we hand select, that we pick out, that aren't presented to us by ABCDFG.
And nobody's giving us wine for free.
No. And
we get sponsorship money and pick the wine we're going to serve.
And so when you're talking about these amateur reviewers, the majority of those people are doing that. They are proactively going out and buying this bottle of wine just like you would. And buying it. So if they buy a bottle of wine that's bad, they have the same disappointment in your mind. It's not dispassionate. It's going to be the same mindset that you have when you drink this wine and it's bad. Or if it's good.
Not only that. Mm-hmm. There are folks who are getting samples.
Yep.
Given reviews. And you know what's just as credible as those who are buying their own and paying for it out of their own pocket? The ones that are saying, hey, with full disclosure, this was sent to me as a free sample.
And also, folks,
I really... You need to give those folks.
Wineries will not send stuff value to people that just give glossy reviews. They want good and bad reviews on site. So, your amateur reviewers, folks, I think that's the way to go. Google a wine. Google wine, get some ideas, read some stuff, and often people write articles on things that are better than three lines anyway. What do you get from three lines? You don't get much from three lines. Especially if you really want to know a wine, you really want to enjoy a wine, you don't get much from three lines doesn't define anything. It doesn't. This wine isn't defined in three, maybe four. But,
Does that mean you're going to stop making fun of people off Cellar Tracker?
Boobs, you mean?
Boobs.
I don't even actually, when I review stuff, I just put the numerical review and submit out, but written reviews. That way nobody can make fun of it. What am I going to write?
Oh, what an ass.
He's got cigar box and notes of fresh cherries. I mean, what the hell? Who cares? This is if anybody cares on there.
No, you're just a sissy. You're afraid to put it out there.
No, I know that nobody reads that shit. And actually, I mean, it's a composite score anybody looks at anyway. Oh my God. Do you review those reviews other than to laugh at them?
Mostly.
This is a good...
Well, you're the one telling them to read the amateur bloggers. This is a good
house pour, and it's a $35 bottle of wine. I mean, right. You see, right. I mean, a bunch of... So that's why I don't know that. But nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break on this wildly overrun episode and be right back on the Wine Vault. Folks, we're back. We're reviewing the 2014 Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Pinot Noir, which should be the Kendall Jackson Pinot Noir. I've talked about that earlier, but $18, roughly.
Snob.
No, it's not snob. I was just being realistic. So, Scott, we're going to start off with you. What is your review for this wine?
Wow.
I know it's not an easy one to review, and I will say that right off the bat. I have no clue what I'm going to do.
I wish the superstar was here so he could say something. He'd probably nail it right in the head, though.
I would actually trust the superstar's numerical review with this.
Obscure on something like this, he'd probably fucking nail it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a 92 or a 91.
I laugh heartily to that that even statement.
It's not.
No.
Let's be honest. This was the one we were probably the least hopeful about, even before we tasted the other two. The Vintner's Reserve. Okay, so he's pointing out at me. It is changing a little bit. Let me ask. So we're on live.
No.
No?
Well, maybe.
Maybe we're on live.
Why don't you taste it?
No, we're on live. I did taste it. I'm going to say the same thing you already just got, because I already tasted it and I already saw it.
Yeah, what are you?
You can taste the raspberry now.
No, I just still taste fucking oak in the mid palate. It's still there. It's a little more linear, a little more harmonious, but...
Do you get the raspberry a little bit now? Come on, hit it. Hit it, brother. Hit it now. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it. It's 3 hours later, and I get a little raspberry.
There's a little raspberry, but the problem is it's still too oaky. It's just too oaky.
So, should you decant? Should you have to decant a $15 bottle of wine 3 hours to get the raspberry out of it?
Probably not. No. That's probably not a requirement. But
nonetheless, we need to retract some of our earlier statements. We get the raspberry now. Blah, 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 blah. It's still an uneven... But what's difficult about rating it is it these characteristics that are all not so well put together are really kind of sort of interesting.
Yeah.
The spice is uncharacteristic of Pinot, but we kind of like it. Come on. Don't make that face.
I like it.
Don't make that face.
Do you mean in a vacuum or right now?
Well, the vacuum that is this
one. If there's Zin had that, yes. I would like it.
Rob, if you consider this wine in a vacuum, do you like the spice?
In fairness, you should speak all the time like that because you're more interesting. yes, the answer would be yes.
It is. The spiciness is kind of interesting.
But not with Pinot.
The oakiness, it's just there. For me, the spiciness is less obtrusive to what the characteristic, even though spiciness like should be there.
I feel like I'm...
The same thing over again.
It's just too... I'm like contradicting myself in the past. It's too oaky for Pinot. even though I would say like the Costantino was not too oaky for a Zin. But the flavor profile was completely different, and it worked with it, in my opinion.
He's struggling.
I am struggling with this thing.
I have no idea what to...
I'm
just kidding. It's tough.
But you go first, so...
I see... Those higher scores, because it really is kind of sort of interesting, but it's just not well put together.
Not in my opinion or your opinion.
And that's the only opinion we're going to go by. We're going to trust ourselves.
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit us as this well put together thing. It's interesting. I don't think we can say that this merits a higher score because, oh, it's ageable and it's going to change. Maybe this will be okay in a couple years. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be completely flat. There's nothing about this wine that makes me think, oh, I need to put it back a couple years.
Why would I want to buy a Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve?
Why would you want to buy a Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Summation? Because it has ageability.
No, I would buy that because I like it.
And not only that, but we...
I don't buy things I'm lukewarm on to see what they'll turn out to be.
But we felt like that has ageability.
Well, yeah, but I liked it just to begin with it.
What is... There are components of this that are really solid. I like the tannic background.
It's a big wine for the price range.
I wouldn't say big because when I say big, I think it's lean.
Well, the underlying wine is lean. However, everything they piled on top of it is big. That's the paradox that this wine is.
Well, but is it big tannically? No. It's got a nice tannic background.
Yes, and it's overtly oaky.
It's what's big about this is this
as oaky Guy spiciness. Fieri would say, it's flavor town. It's just not the flavor that you necessarily want to.
Yeah, Guy doesn't like eggs.
But think if flavor town had a lot of crack addicts on the wine, you wouldn't want to go to flavor town, would you?
I don't think this is a flavor town. I think it's got big.
Oh, it's got flavor. It's just
big spicy
flavor,
oaky flavor notes.
Flavor.
Okay.
It's flavor.
Fruity? Town. Is it big fruity? It's not fruity flavor.
No, it's not that flavor.
Well, okay.
That's the crack addicts. It has the crack addicts. It doesn't have the, you know, the flavor that you want. It just has a flavor.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's what you pay big bucks for, folks. Let's just give it a
number. Oh, fuck. I don't know, man.
We'll just give it a number, man.
88.
88?
Only because of the interesting characteristics. I don't know what to score this. This is one of the more difficult wines I think we've had to score. I know it's more than 85. I know it's less than 90. It's really tough.
I'm going to give it an 87. No, actually, I'm going to give it an 88 too because I just don't know what to give it.
It's tough.
No, there is a wine there that
now here's
has merit. I just don't think it has merit as a Pinot. Does that make any sense? I
know it does. It's tough. Maybe this is a sign that we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
No, I just. But it's not what I want it to be. And I've had lots and lots and lots of Pinot. It's not the varietal that I've had the most of. That's Cab and Zin. But I've had a lot of Pinot.
I haven't drank as much Pinot as Rob has. But there was a period of time where all I drank was Pinot, and I didn't pay $25 for a bottle of wine. I drank everything under the sun that I could under that price point. Yeah. And
this for me,
nothing was like this.
It's stylistically not what I like in a Pinot. There might be somebody out there that goes, oh, I've been waiting for this my entire life. I'd like to find that person, hit them with a telephone book.
Now that we've struggled with the 88 or 87 or 89 or 86 or 85, it's not a 90.
It's not recommended.
That's the thing.
It's not.
That's the thing.
It's not recommended because you won't like this.
That's the thing.
And we're not sure that we do.
Oh, here's No, that's untrue.
Folks.
That's untrue.
The Triple B has graced their present. Triple B, Bee Sting and all, taste this. This is the the Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Pinot Noir.
And not that we're putting you on the spot.
Yes.
Not that we're putting you on the spot, but this.
It's a Pinot?
Well, we think it is. We've struggled with what to score this. And this might be the most difficult wine we've ever had to give a numerical score to.
By far the most difficult.
Well, I had some really bad wine earlier tonight, so.
What was it? Brignet Barbier?
No, that was fine. It was a Roscato.
Moscato?
Roscato.
Oh, a rosé Moscato. What jack off? I mean, what fine person at your bachelorette party brought that? Did it start with an M?
No.
H?
No.
Who?
R. My sister had it in her fridge. It was like.
Remember that telephone book thing I said?
Yeah.
Warming it up.
Are you going to hit it with somebody with a telephone book?
Oh, I never said that.
It was like a carbonated.
I know what it is.
Dark red rosé.
Dark red rosé.
It was bad. And everyone was like, oh, I don't normally like red wine. I was like, this is not red wine.
Like, jinx! That's Jessica's favorite wine.
I had like this much in my glass. You all can't see me on air, like half an inch.
Yeah.
I couldn't even.
I'm going to text Rachel right now and tell her that they're bad.
Don't, Rob. That's mean.
Okay, I'll tell her to her face. That's better.
Anyway. Right. It was terrible. I took one drink and I was like, almost like, I think this is bad. But it was just like, you know, like, but I thought it had like turned.
Well, it never was in the right spot. Yeah. But drink this.
Turn.
Okay.
Turn.
Turnt.
Everywhere. Turnt.
It's turnt.
So what did you say it smells like?
We don't care about the smell.
It's just,
we got past that.
Can you walk me through it?
Rhubarb and black tea.
Did you come up with that?
No, we didn't.
That's actually what they said. The black tea is the first thing you get.
I said cherry cordial, but then I agreed with black tea and rhubarb.
Oh, cherry cordial. I see
I just
that.
Never realized cherry cordial tastes like black tea and rhubarb. Or smells like it. But Becky just said.
And there's another, like,
menthol?
Alcohol? I want to say, like, Dawn dish soap.
That's
oh my lord.
Well, we're kind of getting no.
Do you smell that?
No.
We don't like the wine, but still.
Let me smell it.
Is that the menthol? Is that the menthol?
Maybe that is the menthol smell.
It's the menthol.
With the alcohol.
You see, Becky.
Okay, yeah, I do smell the menthol a lot.
Yeah.
So
drink that.
I'm nervous.
It's not.
It's hard. We're putting you on the spot.
We're putting her on the spot.
This is the definitive person. It doesn't taste like dirt, by the way, even though it should.
Not Pinot.
No.
She's making that is not Pinot face.
No.
Quizzical. It's not a Pinot taste.
It's not a Pinot
taste. That's the struggle. But answer this. Is it interesting? Is it things you like?
This is like an hour and a half long episode.
Oh, fuck, but it's just an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe we should recommend it for people to freaking.
It's not it. So it's not a Pinot.
Well, it is a Pinot.
But it is.
But it's not. It's not a Pinot.
It says right there, Pinot.
And Pinots are like a delicate wine.
Yes. Yeah.
This is not a delicate wine.
I think that's not a description we've pointed to this. So once again, the Triple B is fucking brilliant.
And.
Shut your whole
fuck up.
No, I mean, that's how you know it's a Pinot. It's like dainty and mm-hmm. delicate.
Mm-hmm.
It almost tastes to me like a bad Cab Franc.
Yes, it does. What would numerically, just so you know, Scott and I both gave it an 88.
But we really didn't know if that's
right. But Becky. It's wrong. Becky.
It's wrong.
Becky.
Oh, we were putting our place.
We didn't recommend it.
I would, because it's labeled as a Pinot Noir. I would give it like an 83, 84. It's not good.
But
do you have think it's interesting?
You have an
no.
Not at all?
Oh,
so you don't. What about the spiciness?
And the oakiness. It's too oaky. That's my.
I actually don't taste a lot of oak.
Waffle again.
Yeah.
Normally oak is like.
See, there's an oak sledgehammer that's sitting there like this, like Thor, just waiting for you, and it hits you. It's a waffle the hell out of it.
I normally can smell oak when I walk in the room.
No, you don't smell it.
Yeah.
It's not on the nose.
But you're tasting it?
It's like an oak ninja. It sneaks up.
Vanilla. And the pepper is
related to the oak.
Yeah. Spiciness, anyway.
Spiciness.
Regardless of the outcome here, Triple B has validated our
we're sticking by the 88
difficulty.
You're are sticking we? With your 88.
Are we? We don't know.
I mean, I would give this a low score.
Well, we're not writing yours down, but it's still regardless.
What, you
folks,
say you're not writing mine
no,
down.
No, but you. No matter what, she confirmed what we thought. This is difficult.
But we would drink this way beyond. We would drink the Federalist Cabernet or the Benzinger Cabernet or any of those
just
fucking shitty Cabernets.
There's wines worse than it. Doesn't mean it's good.
I agree with that. But so the thing for the one of the things for us on this is we like see, we there, vacillated there is merit from the beginning.
There. Yeah.
That we
we recognize it's not Pinot. It's not what it should be. It's lean. It's this. It's that.
It's not what we say it should be.
But we kept coming back to it's interesting, and we kept kind of wanting to like it.
There is merit there, and in the price range, it
How
does.
How much was it?
$18. 15. Yeah, it has a complexity.
That's fair, but you can buy just branch out and get a Zin.
But
there's a lot better Zins. We're not drinking Zins. We're a lot cheaper.
We're drinking Zins.
There's right in our simplicity.
We're drinking Pinot. That's what we got.
Yeah, it's not a good Pinot.
Well, with that, folks.
I was going to say, I don't even really taste any, like, I can't believe it's made out of grapes. Can you?
It's the other thing we've talked about is the fruit we.
Now I feel like I'm defending a wine I don't particularly care for.
I know you guys are really.
That's funny,
Becky. We gave it 88s, but we don't particularly like it.
Who knows? Beautiful in defending the wine. He's drinking white wine.
If you gave this to me and I didn't know it was a wine, I don't know that I could tell you it was.
Oh, I 100% agree with that.
That's a weird.
It's bizarro.
Yeah, it's a bizarro thing.
But I will stick by our 88s, more yours than mine. But the not recommended.
Wait, you're going to stick by my 88 but not yours?
Yeah, yours.
You stick by my 88 but not yours?
Yeah. You're going to fall on the sword.
I'm disappointed in both of you.
I don't recommend it.
I love this woman.
I leave for 2 hours and this is what happens.
I don't believe anybody should drink this.
No, I love Trevor.
For Christ's sake, but. You know, it does.
It's insane. There's an insanity.
Bizarre.
This
it's bizarro.
Kendall Jackson, you have ruined our world.
Well, it should be more simplistic than this.
Yeah.
But it's not. They've done all these things that don't work, but yet we still want to like it.
Well, we do in a sense, just not as Pinot.
No, it doesn't matter what we don't like it as. Like it is what it is.
No.
What would you say it is?
Frankenstein.
Can I do that voice again?
Yeah.
Rob, in a vacuum, do you like this as a wine? Or in a vacuum, do you like it as a Pinot?
Well, let me say this, and this will sum up the episode. This will be the last thing I'll say.
Jesus Christ, it's a good thing.
Yes. Steve Bodie, go fuck yourself. And with that, I'm going to bid you adieu here on the Wine Vault. Good night.